Heavenly Father, we know by vindication that Thou art the true and living God, and Thy Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for our justification. And now, upon the throne of God Himself, is still our mediator and intercessor, our great high priest. And He is not, as some would presume, in any other position. We're glad, Lord, that you're here, putting all things under His feet, preparatory against that day when the Son shall hand the kingdom back to the Father. All those things, Lord, are revealed for this hour. And like the great Roman candle, the first burst is bringing forth many, many facets and wonderful revelations and truths. And we're very glad for them. We pray, Lord, that we shall add word upon word until we're thoroughly dressed in the perfect revelation, the perfect faith, and trusting in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things, Lord, we know are here in this hour. They've been there waiting to be exposed, but now they are exposed to us. We pray we shall esteem them above our necessary meat and above life itself, because this is the true life, not the life that is simply here in the flesh that courses through our veins by reason of blood. But there is a life, God's life Himself in the soul. And we know, Lord, when the soul departs, come back someday, picking up that body. We're grateful for all these things, Lord. We just ask you, Father, to bless our study this morning and help us. We might not err in these things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I don't even know what number this is in the message of the seed of discrepancy. And I was just thinking the other day, I made a little boo-boo about this message here. This wasn't the message that Brother Branham loved so much. It was the paradox. This is the one that I got more out of than the paradox because of the spirit situation within the building at that time. But this, however, is a very important message, and it's one that he preached in 1964, or might have been 65 maybe, at the turn of the year over there in Phoenix. But the very title itself is a little peculiar in that he uses the word discrepancy. Actually, we know that Brother Branham said concerning the word of the Lord is revealed to the prophet in the former rain. He said that prophet will plant the word of the entire Bible from the serpent in the Garden of Eden to the prophet in the former rain. And remembering, I think it was September 1958, it might have been July, but I think it was September, 1958, that Brother Branham preached on serpent seed. And you know, of course, that caused a great deal of dissension, so much that Brother Branham regretted that the tape had gone out. But I think even he had not told them to send it out, but they had sent it out. And yet by the time we came to writing the church ages and setting the doctrine in order so that people might understand what Brother Branham meant when he enunciated certain principles from the Word, we went into that quite thoroughly as possible. So anyway, we're looking at the word discrepancy. It means to sound differently. It's a disagreement, a difference, and inconsistent. Something not consistent. I think that's one of the best definitions. A discrepancy means there's something that isn't consistent. It's not running true to order. And therefore becomes at variance with the true principle. Now, it wouldn't be too bad if we had a situation where you had a problem. This seat ain't working too good. Come on, fix this, Lloyd. Whatever you got to do with it. I'll sink to the floor here. But anyway, it wouldn't be too bad if we merely found a problem which was not contradictory or contraserving. Whoops, sorry, is that good? Okay, we'll try that. Or that isn't too good. A little higher, yeah. Oh, yeah. Put me up high where I belong, sir. See? If you're going to fall, make it a good one. No, I'm just kidding, of course. That's good, thank you. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if it weren't detrimental, and not only detrimental, but divisive, and actually be set forth to take the place of the other true precept. You follow what I'm saying? Because it's important for you to understand that. You just don't have something here that's at variance in a passive sense of the word. See? Now remember, Brother Branham used this parable over here, another parable put he forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now see, the kingdom of heaven starts out good. Now you get some problems. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went their way. Now, I don't know if I can find it over here in a hurry. My mind trying to pick up something here. Now, speaking of the problems in the errors and shameful things that the seed of discrepancy wrought. Paul says here, you were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And that's really the thing you got to look out for. Not the fruit of the Spirit is delineated elsewhere. Because anybody can produce that under anointing. But you can't produce the righteousness and the fruit. You can't produce that unless you really are truly one in the Spirit. Proving what is that acceptable, what is acceptable in the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Well, you see, that's all in the open today. Like you couldn't believe. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Now it tells you right here that God exposes these things. And they've been exposed for seven church ages, and not exposed like they're exposed today. But they've been exposed all along by the Word of God. And people still don't believe. Wherefore, he said, now watch, all things are reproved, that are reproved, are made manifest by the light. God deliberately brings to pass a revelation by the Holy Spirit that plays upon the minds and the spirit, and particularly down into the soul of the bride, the true church, even into the foolish virgin, because remember, they're virgins, cut in the same cloth. Now he said, God brings that to light and makes it manifest. Now watch. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now we read over here, while men slept through seven church ages, there was the planting of these tares. And it says here that these people that Paul is speaking of are not dead as though they need quickening. They're simply asleep at the switch. Now he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from amongst the dead. These, in many cases, you'd call soulless natural brute beast animals that are out there sowing the tare life. Now, a tare is not wheat. The tare is a curse upon the earth. You can find that right in the book of Genesis. Curse the earth for thy sake. And unto thee it's going to bring forth weeds and brambles. They're going to cause you to sweat. Now that's just the natural from the soil. What about these people here then that are not just simply tares, brambles that come from soil that hinder us in our daily search for a living? What about these that come and would hinder us from the things of God? Now he said, look, at the time when God is manifesting, see that you are wide awake. Get away from the dead. Come out of them. It's always been a coming out message. It's always been Revelation chapter 18. Come up from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. See? Come up from those dead churches. They're dead, but they're still causing tremendous havoc by the natural brute beast life that they have within them. It's a mess. See? See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, when God manifests and brings a revelation on the scene, that's what you go hook, line, and sinker for, to disassociate yourself from these dead and sleeping tares that are worshipers of God, or gods even. And they have nothing in them but death. Now, the blade was the serpents came and said, didn't you sow good seed? He said, certainly. So the kingdom of heaven deals with mankind as mankind is, and mankind started out in the pure Adamic race. There's no two ways about it. There they were in the garden. And the good man says, an enemy did this. Now, strange that Eve took this enemy as a friend. You better be careful who your friends are. Evil communications, evil companions, corrupt good manners. Birds of a feather flock together. Pretty soon tarred with the same brush. That's why I'm so happy to see children in their own home schools. And we should do anything we can for them to help them. I'll go one step better than the Seventh-day Adventists, the Amish, and the whole bunch. We're already many steps ahead because we have the truth. And the truth is life. And you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Harder these people try, the more God raises up a standard. So he said, here, shall we pull them up? No. That's why you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat also. Let them both grow together until the harvest. So the kingdom of God, starting out with good seed, will end up with a tremendous harvest of rotten seed. Like, for instance, in the beginning you say God planted oats. But at the end of the trail, it's wild oats. All is fit for burning. I don't know if you know anything about wild oats or not, but wild oats many times look better than tame oats. And when the harvest time comes, you take and try to shell it, nothing in it. Because the horses wouldn't want it, the cows wouldn't want it, nobody wants it. Now, if you cut it green, it might be all right, or turn it under the ground as green manure or fertilizer, I don't know. But these people have nothing. But let them grow together. And gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, Brother Branham said very truthfully that though this is a parable, in the time of Jesus, its fulfillment is a fulfillment in this last hour as it never was fulfilled before. Because Brother Branham said, the beginning of the age, God brings his, at the end of the last age, the beginning of the first age, God brings his prophet, his witness on the scene, whatever that man is, brings him on, brings the message. He's rejected except by a few bride. And then God takes away his faithful servant and pulls away in slumber the little bride there. And then at the end of that age, starting a new age, comes another messenger. But you see, there's no such thing as the actual tearing up, bundling and binding and burning that there is at this age. Because this is Malachi 4. And people, I really don't have a clue about that. They try to give it all to the Jews. Funny thing is, they want to take what the Jews have and they want to give to the Jews what they have. But Brother Branham is speaking here then about this seed of discrepancy. he's mentioning that this is particularly for the end time. And you'll notice that in the beginning, which is the Alpha here, where this parable starts out going way back to Genesis, goes all through Israel, goes into the New Testament church, and all the way down to the very end there, that if you go back to the beginning, where man is involved in the kingdom of God, and he is the sowing of mankind, you know right away, as God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, even as he said in Jesus, you're the beginning of my generations. And as that son was in God, we were in him. So we're still a part of God. Now, so looking at it, they became fruitful and multiplied. Now, we understand how they did it all wrong, but just bypass that. How is it possible that Canaan, that Eve and Adam could bring forth two children with such a disparity, such a difference, such a disagreement, such an inconsistency? Because Cain had no trouble killing his brother. No doubt he cut his throat with a jagged piece of flint stone, poured the blood upon the ground, bashed his head in. And then when God said, your blood of your brother cries from the ground, he said, so what? Eve got from behind the word and she fell for Satan's lie. But she was seduced. And she didn't show criminal tendencies. There was nothing in her that wanted to actually rebel against the word and throw the word out of her life, because she didn't deny God and didn't deny what God said. She just listened to the wrong one interpreting the word. So she got off that word. But you look at Cain. That's a breed of a different color entirely. So it was easy back there to tell. Well, there's no way that Cain could be the son of Adam. And the Bible bears that out, and science bears record that Eve is the mother of all living, but there is no record of a single male being the father of all living. Just, there isn't. That's scientific. It's also scientific that man came out of Africa. I laughed that one time, this preacher from New York that's supposed to have all the answers, he didn't have the Garden of Eden down in Africa. And whether you believe it or not, that's what Brother Branham said, and that takes care of it. And the cradle was down there, because you're looking at all of these things coming out of Africa. Proving Eve was the mother, one mother. But she had two men who became fathers to her children. Now, what kind of a person do you think Cain was that he could just simply grab Abel and kill him with no problem? Well, if you study the murder scene of the century out in L.A., you wonder the same thing, how a man could grab two healthy people and slit their throats. I wonder at that myself. I don't know who did what to whom. But my thought here is you better believe that this fellow was a mighty big fellow. That's where the giants came from. And it was easy to tell, no problem, to see the discrepancy. You tell right away there's a difference. Hey, there's something here that jangles. There's something doesn't fit. There's something trying to take over that doesn't belong. This does not work. There is something we're missing. And I'm going to tell you something. All through seven church ages, that has been the theme song. Something is missing. Something is missing. Something is missing. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. That's why people continually sought light. Now at the end time, they better rise from amongst the dead. Because God has certainly made manifest what the truth is by vindication. And if that doesn't stir people up, if vindication does not stir people up, I don't know why they bother even to bother with Brother Branham. I got a letter the other day from a real individual out there in North Dakota. He wrote his name on it. His name is Rusty Kuba. He's quoting everything under high heaven to make Joseph Joshua. Brother Branham categorically said, Joshua is the Holy Spirit, our Joshua. He said that Joseph said he was Joshua. I believe that's a lie. I don't believe Joseph said that to anybody. I believe the guy's not only off the word, I believe he's a liar, a barefaced liar. Why doesn't he quote the time Brother Branham was in New York in December and admitted publicly that he was absolutely Elijah? Always looking for something. The guy doesn't have a clue to vindication. He can't have. And if Joseph tried to rise up as a prophet to supersede Brother Branham, he'd be phony as a $3 bill. Because we've got the original. Now, there's one thing, of course, at the end time. In the first place, Cain and Abel, forget it. You could tell right now who was who. And for centuries you could tell. But the time Jesus came to Jerusalem, you couldn't tell. You just could feel something wasn't right. Like when I was in Pentecost, I couldn't deny what God had done. But I sure had that bugged out feeling. Never got over it till I got a message. There was a discrepancy. There was a chattering. The gears were chattering. The ark wasn't moving up the road. Something was wrong. Back in the beginning, simple as ABC. Back at the time of Judas and Jesus, simple as ABC. If you looked at it correctly. But even back in Jesus' day, it wasn't too easy to tell. Now in this day, there's a razor blade edge difference, and that's all there is. And the seed of discrepancy, serpent seed in this hour, is you're dealing with people across the board that you couldn't tell if you tried and tried to prove on your own that these people were bride or non-bride. It is so vague and so difficult that is to bring forth some type of manifested testing. Like if Joseph claimed he was Joshua, which I'm sure the boy never did claim that for 15 seconds. Where's his proof? What sign does he show us? The Bible said when a true prophet's on the scene, another prophet comes by and shows you a sign, it is only for one reason, take you away from the truth. Because he's a false prophet. So at this end time, There's one thing that stands sure. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them which are his. And there's not one he's going to fail to call. And the evidence of being the true child of God in the hour in which you live is the genuine faith, which is a true revelation of the Word of Almighty God, which is the only righteousness that you can have. See, like sin is unbelief. Smoking, drinking, carousing. Attributes. They come from the mother lode. If a person truly believed Brother Branham's message with the sincerity that we seem to lack, there'd be more consistency, but that still would not prove that you're bride. The only proof that you and I have is concerning the revelation of the hour, because that's what the Scripture sets forth. Now, so Brother Branham, in dealing with this subject, talking to the four gospel businessmen in Arizona, on page 10 we left off, he said, now we find today this discrepancy has been sowed through every age. Sure it has. Soon as God brings the light, the enemy rises up to bring in something else, add to it. See, people are just like their father, the devil. They will not subscribe to the sovereignty of God. Even as the devil said, I will ascend above the mountains and the clouds, even above the Most High. I'll not only be like God, I'll supersede him. Well, hey, you don't find people down here saying that. No. Does the Pope come along and say, I'm greater than God? No. He said, I'm the servant of God. I'm the vicar of Christ. I'm here in his stead. See, people fall for it. Okay? Every age brings forth the error against the truth. And you better believe the greatest error you're going to see in these days is against the revelation of the rapture. Because that's the one thing the bride needed, is the crowning doctrine, where she would understand the events and that which pertained to it. If it was possible to go into the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'd do it, but you can't. Down through the ages, most of us all read the Bible. And now, like when Jesus came, and he found that discrepancy, that difference, he found what was contrary. See, the commandment was not given to the serpent, be fruitful and multiply. It was given to Adam and Eve. And she blew it when she went into liaison with that serpent. Hard to understand. In other words, women today have more morals than she had. What in the world happened? He found that which was contrary. Now watch. Contrary to what? Contrary to him. First of all, he was the Word made manifest. He was God's interpretation of the Word. That's right. Search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And he said, if you get the right clues to the Scripture, if you search, you are going to find me there. Well, then he was the Word of God manifest. He was the interpretation of the Scripture, just like John the Baptist. Who are you? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm Isaiah 40:1. I'm that Word of God made manifest in flesh. Because I'm fulfilling that Word. What word? The word that devolved upon them they received and thereby became. Think it over. There you are. He was the interpretation of the word. Brother Branham said God interprets the word by fulfilling it. He was the fulfillment. Now watch. And every born-again son and daughter of this age is the interpretation of the word. You are written epistles, read of all men, yes. Now right now that can come up pretty lean. So how in the world could I be an interpretation or manifestation of the word of God? What in the world have I got? Then you start looking for gifts. Well, now, are you going to compete with thus saith the Lord or the prophet? Are you going to compete with the man who says, I challenge you, bring me 25, your worst case is guarantee healing for all? And nobody came, so God healed about 1,100 with not one drop of. We never only got 25, we got 40 times that. At that time, I didn't even think of it myself. Not one miss. Stand right there, cast out devils left and right. Devil didn't come the first time he come. He better look out the third time he was gone. You're going to compete with that? Where do you place your rebirth? Born again, not of corruptible spora. In other words, dusted by the pollen that comes from the air anywhere. I'll take this, I'll take that. You get born again Pentecostal, born again Seventh-day Adventist, born again Mormon, born again Islam. All going to hell. Not because I say so. Born of the incorruptible word, which tells you no discrepancy. This is the measuring line, the plumb line. Hey, it fits. Well, just a minute. Who are you to tell me it fits? Shut up and sit down. You don't have a clue to God and his prophets. See, that is why I get turned on so desperately and so strong. And when people come after 10 years sitting under a ministry, Brother Bale, I begin to understand today because I preached vindication so strong. Where are the rest of the preachers? I'm not the only one. But I'll challenge you, line up men's sermons against mine. You're going to find out day and day night we build our hope on the word of God interpreted by bringing it into manifestation with thus saith the Lord behind it. We are therefore those of perfect faith, completely righteous. And we are manifested before the word. Why? Because as Jesus said, for which good deed do you stone me? Oh, they said, shut up. You know we love the sick healed. Feed our sick, raise our dead, but shut your mouth. Paul the apostle said, what are you trying to kill me for? I'll tell you why. Because you call heresy what I preach, vindicated in life of Jesus and vindicated in my own life. Now what did he say to those who are the manifested children? He said over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, oh well, I'll get it for you. They were fussing. I'm of Paul. I'm of this. I say that. The other fellow says the other thing. What's going on here anyway? Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, the spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. And he said, here, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Now watch. If any man think himself to be a prophet, that's a fivefold ministry prophet, or spiritual. Your spiritual man is? He's not carnal. He lives in the Spirit. He walks in the Spirit. He discerns spiritual things. The Spirit of God's in him. And what does he say about them? Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, not Peter, not James, not John, not anybody, are the commandments of the Lord. Now, you want to be a manifested child of God? Well, we'll ordain some of you ladies to tippy-toe across the street and platform and pray for the sick and yoo-hoo and wahoo. We're not around here. You men that want to be some big shots will do the same for you, but by the time we get finished, we'll throw you out the door. Do you know it's the engrafted word of salvation that you receive to be saved? The uncorrupted, incorruptible word of Almighty God that we receive into our souls. That's the manifestation. You got everybody running around saying, well, Joseph got to do this, and this man got to do that. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The truth of Joe Branham is that he is a prophet. Never doubt for 1 minute. So Billy Paul said, Daddy, what about it? I guess he wanted some signs in a hurry out of the basket. His dad said, don't you worry, he is a prophet. But it all depends on the crowd he's with. If he's with the wrong crowd, he'll be a prophet unto men. If he's the right crowd, he'll be a prophet unto God. Somebody wants to come along and depose and dispose of Brother Branham, vindicated prophet of God with the pillar of fire. Ho, 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 you do what you want, baby. But don't come around here with your filth and your stench. I'm not interested. I want to have this word to such a place when I think anything about the word, I think what William Branham said. And don't care two bits of what I said or anybody else has said. Change nothing. You are the written epistles, the word, read of all men. What do you believe about this? I believe, oh, heretic, get out of my hair. What do you believe about this? I can't take what you say. No, 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 you're wrong. Just give me a sign that you're right. See, they can't do it. Now they got themselves on the spot. Now who's the one that can give the sign? This age started with a vindicated prophet. It ends with a vindicated prophet. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing the word to you and me. And thank God we have the right revelation that we can go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 where we see our destination caught up to be with the Lord, caught up to meet Him in the air. And it tells you the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout, with a message to put the church in order. They think of some little gift in the room. I couldn't understand why Brother Branham didn't lower the boom on those guys that ran off like a bunch of scalded dogs. He saw go in the room there with you. He desperately wanted him and me to get together so we could have gifts, because he knew that I understood a certain amount about them and I'd listen to him. Whatever he said would go. If he wanted written, would be written. No problem. Never could get it. So he said, I'll go in there with you. Oh, Lord, I wish I'd have been down there to go in with him. I just said, Bill, let you and me go in. Maybe you'll tell me to get out. Fine by me. Let's go in. No, they didn't want even that. Now the last I hear is this guy that, you know, played me for a sucker. He's moved to Calgary now, another Latter-day guy. So full of arrogance, it's absolutely pitiful. He's going to lead 2 million people in the millennium. Ho, ho, ho. He gets up in the pulpit and he said, I got an interpretation in tongues written out here. Who's going to give a message in tongues? Nobody gave a message, so he said, I'll just read it anyway. And people sit there thinking the man has one clue to Brother Branham. You know, that guy wouldn't even qualify in a bucket of puke. Now, I'm not being mean about it. I'm just telling you, merciful God. People say they believe this message and haven't got a clue to vindication. Vindication means this is it and there ain't nothing else. Take it or leave it. Like it or lump it. Liberize. Sink or swim. Unless you got that attitude, brother, sister, you don't have what I believe Brother Branham is here talking about. Now he said, notice, in vain do they worship me, teaching discrepancies for doctrine. Now these people are the manifested epistles of God. They're not worshiping in vain. They're teaching the truth. These others are worshiping in vain, teaching the doctrine of discrepancy, the doctrine of men, the doctrine of creeds, teaching that to be the Word of God when it has nothing to do with the Word of God. Complete rejection, adding or taking the Word. Now, do these people at all understand that they're believing and they're worshiping according to doctrine? See? Identifies them. We come along, we say, Brother Branham, by vindication, said the events leading to the rapture are the Lord Himself, Jesus. That's Yeshua, Jehovah Savior. Not the Lamb. The one that went from the pillar of fire to His own Son. Left His own Son. Raised Him, put Him on the mercy seat behind Him. Who's now on the throne. That's the one you're dealing with. Why would you want to deal with Jesus? He said, I don't know anything except the Father tells me, and I can't do anything unless He lets me. That's like the joke Brother Branham liked to tell about the guy that was overseas. It's a joke he told. I'll tell it to you. I think I told it. I'm sure I told you before. But the joke's worth telling. It was a good joke. So this guy didn't have any religion. He was nothing from nowhere. So they said, we're going to hit the over the top tonight at midnight. Going to be mostly enough. Maybe come back. Desperately wounded or dead. And you better have some kind of peace with God and faith. That's what I'd advise you. This guy didn't know where to go, so he went to the Catholic Church. He got some indoctrination. And sure enough, the day came when they had to go to the top of the trenches. It was something like the Battle of Balaclava. Into the jaws of death, in the gates of hell, rode the 500, but not all came back. Well, the poor guy was up there and he felt something trickle down his side. He didn't get shot and not even know with those high-speed bullets. He looked down and he found blood. He was telling the story to a friend of his. How he went over the top of what it felt like and how he got shot. The guy was a Catholic. And he said, I suppose you said some Hail Marys quickly. He said, shucks, no. I don't go to no secretary. I go right to the boss. It's not a nasty joke, it's the truth. Why would you, when you have vindication so plainly given, and the Word of God so plainly given, that you just can't get rid of all your feelings and all your emotions and everything else and say, listen, a Bible is a Bible, a spade is a spade, a flannel's flannel, a cotton is cotton, peonies are peonies, and zinnias are zinnias. People just go wacky. From being intelligent, sane people. Funny. Mushhead, cottonhead. You can't deal with that, brother, sister. You ain't going nowhere with that. This is the only message that has life, and the life has been proven, and they turned it down. And they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. How can he say, you dare to try to worship God? And you can only worship and serve God through a prophet. Brother Branham said it. He said it so correctly. I said that to a fellow that's supposed to be a Christian, a dentist. Implored him. He wouldn't believe if I took it out of the Bible. Deuteronomy 18. They can't do it. Not when his wife runs around with slacks and a haircut and everything else. I don't care if he's educated. It's on his education. The old gal that washes clothes over a washboard with three tapes is way better off. And the guy with half a dozen university degrees can fill your teeth and do this and do that. I'd sooner have somebody fill my heart. not a lot of emotion and gusto and froth, but the solid vindicated word of Almighty God that I believe that He said in my day. This day is a different day from all ages. This is the day when the two spirits are so close, poured upon all flesh, sons and daughters prophesying, every manifestation. Maybe 99% is all of the devil. We haven't seen anything yet, I suppose, to what we're going to see by way of these false things coming on the earth. But brother, sister, listen to me. No matter what comes, close your eyes and know anything from this point on is a counterfeit. People say, God, I'm praying and fasting. Make me this and make me that. Oh, stop that nonsense. God, make me so strong with your word that nothing matters. I've got the correct revelation. Thereby do I worship thee, because thou art the word. I'm a part of the word. See? Now, Jesus said it himself. Now, if he said it 2,000 years ago, what about today? Hebrews 6. And I'm going to tell it in you, or don't work the horse anything. Well, we've gone far enough today. Who knows what happens tomorrow? Maybe nothing. But we'll just kind of put this down here where I end up. So, all right. See the discrepancy. See the discrepancy. Different from the pattern. Evil in a most insidious way. Trying to take over. Refusing to recognize the sovereignty of Almighty God. The church has come full bloom to the place where the church is sovereign. The Pope doesn't care two bits about the God he says he represents and the Christ he's supposed to be here for. He's in Mariolatry. He's an idolater. He doesn't care two bits to sell your soul into hell. That's his job. Oh, no church is any different. The discrepancy, the difference, is there. I'm so glad that that's what caught my attention. How are these people doing these things? It's reserved for the true child of God in gifts and ministries in proper order. And then Brother Branham taught anointed ones of the end times. And I knew the razor blade difference. The greatest error is one word off. I want to ask you a question. If the greatest error is one word off, then William Branham brought the pure and perfect word the same as Paul did. Do you think maybe there's a possibility that someone in our ranks will rise up and deceive just about everybody? A lot of people got fooled by Shelley. You can get fooled by him and some of the preachers running around the country. I'm going to tell you one thing. You never were set straight in the first place. Why not give the Word of God a chance? By full acceptation. And see what life comes forth. What comes forth in this last hour. Well, let us rise and be dismissed. All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning hour. We thank you for your kindness and your mercy which you've extended to us. That we have this day that you've given us, Lord, and this hour that we come together to worship you. But above all, Lord, it would be very insensitive of us and very ridiculous for us to come here to worship you if we did not worship you in spirit and in truth. We'd be like those citizens in the time of 1 Corinthians who came together and they left worse than when they came. And that's how we would be. And this morning it's the same thing. If I've taught these people error and steered them any way whatsoever from the truth, then they're in worse shape than when they came. And I'm in worse shape because I'm adding insult to injury continuously. But Lord, we've said very little concerning your word as pertaining to doctrine. But we set forth what does constitute the basis for the reality of true doctrine, which is your vindicated prophet, which we know comes only very, very irregular times, great juncture. And we're happy, Lord, that we know the truth and the truth has set us free. Now we pray you'll confirm your word to us. And may we be faithful witnesses all the time in our thinking and our speaking. So whether we confer with strangers or we're conferring with each other or within our own household, Lord, we are only conferring on the basis of a truly revealed word, filling our hearts and our minds with that word and thereby also putting on the garment, the wedding garment, without which no one can enter into the wedding supper, where the others are left wailing and gnashing the teeth in the great tribulation. Too late understanding, because they were of the crowd that always looked back and always looked forward, but never stood there to know what was in their hour. So we commend ourselves unto you, Father. Heal the sick amongst us. Give grace to those, Lord, who are going through hard trials and times. Strengthen each believer, Lord, as never before. And may the God of all grace be praised as never before, the Christ be exalted. Help us, Father. We know that you have helped us by giving us a prophet and the true word, and now each day we believe that you add to that word upon word. And one day we know that that stature, that measure shall be reached, Lord. It has to, because that's the word of the living God, right up to headship. So we thank you for all of this, Lord, commending ourselves to safe journey, mercy, whatever else is needed, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, your blessed Savior. Amen.